您现在听到的是精简版的 Roundtable 节目，想收听并下载一小时完整节目，可以打开网站 CRIEZFM.com 点击 Roundtable。 Podcast 用户可以搜索圆桌会议。
A global survey shows that Chinese people are the most optimistic about the future of the world, while the U.S. is the sixth least optimistic country. Do you think these results are valid? And what's behind Chinese people's apparent optimism? Guys, can I just draw the conclusion that Chinese people were just optimistic about the world?
I wouldn't say optimistic. It's not the word I would use to describe China. I have very strong views on this, as He Yang actually knows. But before I get into it, I'm going to let Lai Ming express his views first. Just a bit more of a backdrop, though. So the YouGov Global Research and Data Company surveyed over 18,000 people in 17 countries, and they found that over 41% of internet users in China say the world is getting better. Other countries they looked at were also including Malaysia, the United States, Great Britain, Finland, Singapore, Thailand, Germany, Sweden. The list goes on. And yet China by far are leading. They are no one else even compares. The closest country to China was Indonesia with 23%. The US and Great Britain much lower, 6 and 4% of them only thought things are getting better.
Mm-hmm.
You can go first, Lemming. Do you think Chinese people are optimistic, or do you think there's more than meets the eye to this story?
Well, it certainly goes contrary with what I see on Weibo. I mean, in recent years, what we see on Weibo are all rumors or complaints about what's gone wrong in the society. But it seems this survey, about 18,000 people in 17 countries, that sounds a big enough sample group to me. So maybe that does tell us something.
Okay, the question that I really want from you here, Lai Ming, is why do you think Chinese people are more optimistic than the rest of the world?
Well, the simplest reason I would suggest is, well, that's because Chinese economy has been developing rapidly. GDP annual growth rate in China averaged 10.88% from 1989 until 2015. So for people who have done this research online, so internet users, young people, they may have been born to the age of relative prosperity. I mean, at least they've never experienced a shortage. And all their lives, they've witnessed progress. They're living in a time where, as long as they work hard, they can expect good, optimistic returns.
I think that's actually a statement that holds a lot of truth that I can agree upon, I think. Because, like, for young people like myself or Lai Ming, I think for those born after the 1980s, we still experienced a certain level of austerity. I remember the first place my family lived in was a one-room bungalow. And we went from there, and now we have a relatively big apartment. And I think that is the kind of trajectory that most young people have experienced. Maybe we started from a low point, and we went on a curve that's just going up. And that contributes to general optimism when you look at the world, although we don't know what's going to happen in the future, though.
Okay, well, a few things. First of all, China's economy is doing quite well, but it's not perfect. Economic growth has slowed down, the Chinese stock market has continued to plummet, and I spoke to several Western financial majors yesterday, experts in the industry, and they're all speculating that the Chinese housing market may still crash. So it's not all roses, that's my first point. Secondly, this survey wasn't about if you think that China's going to be better in the future. It's about Chinese views on the entire world and how the world is going to be and their optimism towards the entire planet that stretches beyond China. The US and Europe are also included. And my honest opinion is that because of a certain level of control in China, that there might just not be enough knowledge about what is actually going on in the world as a whole. I'm going to ask Lai Ming a quick question. Lai Ming, tell me the stories about Eric Garner, the famous case in the US.
No idea.
Well, it's one of the biggest stories in the US, and if a British media expert or an American media expert did not know the details, it would be as bad as a media expert in China not knowing the details of the Second World War. I'll give you another chance, Simon. Tell me the details about Michael Brown.
Well, tell me.
Or Mark Cuban. Or Donald Sterling. Or any of these major international cases. let me guess, since, do either of you guys know? Because if not, we can go for it very quickly. Michael?
No. Okay, well, thank you very much for that. You've made a very good case that maybe sometimes Chinese people are not that...
Sometimes! Michael Brown, okay, was the story of an 18-year-old guy who was shot in broad daylight for being black. Eric Garner was standing in the street and accused by police of selling fake cigarettes, at which point they tried to cuff him, and he said, I didn't do anything, and they choked him in the middle of the day,
with
eyewitnesses watching him say, I can't breathe, several times before his life ended, in public, in the middle of the day. And we haven't even started about the international terrorist attacks yet. If you look at these stories, and our two news experts don't know about them.
Okay.
The hosts of the round table.
Okay,
I'm just saying, if you guys don't know, there's a strong possibility that a lot of the general Chinese public that was surveyed here might not know what's going on in the rest of the world as well, which would severely influence the results of the survey.
Thank you for your passionate demonstration of some very specific examples. I think
the biggest examples that happened in the US, they're not very specific.
I think the list can continue. You can always come up with enough examples to show how ignorant we are, the Chinese people are, about what's going on in the world. But I doubt people in any country can have a decent understanding about the world. Well, many years ago, when the US was in war with Iraq, and a news organization in the US carried out a survey, and most of the people in the US had the problem pinpointing Iraq, the country Iraq, in the world map. That shows how ignorant of people are about the world politics.
My point here isn't to make anyone look ignorant. I don't need to get the wrong foot here, but the Michael Brown case, for example, was the biggest story in international headlines. And it was just one example to show that if we're talking about world optimism, you've got to understand what's going on in the world, right? To be able
yes,
to
my point is,
if it's
I doubt people have an idea, in any country, have an idea what's going on in the world. My point is that.
And does that have much relation with how optimistic you feel about what the world we live in? Well, we can talk about that in a second, I think.
Yeah, we should definitely talk about how the media has shaped our perception of what's going on in the world.
Yes.
And how indecent they've been doing their jobs, including us.
All right. So, Lai Ming, why don't you pick up where you left off?
Well, I think Sam has made a brilliant point in terms of, well, saying that maybe we, the Chinese people, or the rest of the world, or citizens in living in other countries, they don't have a decent understanding going on in the world. I think both Sam and I can agree on that.
Yeah, and it's a two-way street. I think there are a lot of stories in China that I'm constantly telling people who work in British media about, and they're like, that happened? I'm like, yeah, why do you not know about this? And it seems to be a general lack of international transparency.
And to think we live in media industry, and we don't know enough about the rest of the world.
And without bigging
imagine
up...
Imagine what the ordinary people in other countries...
And without bigging up the round table too much, having all three of us with different perspectives on one show, I think is also what makes this quite an interesting debate, because, you know, we've all read different elements of the news, and we all bring it together on this one platform. But it's the different understandings of different subjects and different individual cases through different countries, which is going to have a influence on people's general optimism of what's going on in the entire globe.
Yes, and also when we talk about optimism, it is so abstract. How do you touch on that, and how do you quantify that? So that's always been my question when it comes to these kind of surveys, and how can you just pinpoint that 41% of Chinese people are just optimistic, and optimistic, this word itself is subject to interpretation to different people from different backgrounds, from different countries. It means differently in different cultures. And also, I just like to ask one question. That is, I wonder if you guys feel it as well, is that when you're being surveyed by a foreign organization about how optimistic you feel of your own country or the world... Okay, I'll just use myself as an example. I feel that I subconsciously am not telling the real...
Your personal feelings?
What I really feel in my heart. Because it's very easy for myself to get a little bit protective when people are asking about my country or what I feel its place in the world.
So your reluctance to express your true feelings might have an impact on the result of the survey.
I think that could be something that's very culturally that's happening as well. As a while ago, I was, participant in this, an interview about how I feel about our country and amongst other things. And without knowing, I felt I became the spokesperson of the Chinese government. And I didn't want to do that. I just sort of fell into that role and everything is all rosy. And I was shocked by my natural reaction afterwards.
Well, obviously, Lai Ming's worked with me a bit longer than He Yang because we do another show called China Drive. He knows this much about me that I physically can't do what He Yang just described. I can't just walk around and going, oh, it's amazing, it's great. My core principle for working in media is always going to be, I'm going to speak my mind. I'm going to be me. And what I like and what I dislike, I'm going to tell you. And I'm not just going to say, I hate this for no reason. I'll give you my reasons, and I'll list my criteria, and I'll give you a bunch of case examples as to why I dislike something. But I don't think, as people that speak in public, we can walk around just saying, yeah, everything's great, if we honestly don't believe that.
And do you represent the rest of the UK citizens? And is that why the UK are so pessimistic about the future of the world?
Well, I don't represent the UK, but I would say that you do get a lot of British people in media, and the people we love listening to the most, who are going to talk about everything that's wrong with our country. They talk about racism, they talk about terrorism, they talk about immigration, they talk about property tax, they talk about inflation, unemployment.
Talk about, do you mean complain about?
And complain, yes, exactly. They complain heavily, and they say this is bad and it should be different. And if they didn't, nobody would listen to them. Nobody. I can't think of anyone I know British who wants to turn on the radio and have someone say, the world's fantastic and we're all so happy to be here and England is like heaven. If anyone went on British radio and said that, he would lose his job the next day.
And okay, so on Roundtable, we never do that either, or we rarely do.
Ho-Yang, you're very positive about most things.
Well, yeah, who wants to listen to depressing things when it's...
The British do.
Well, there you go. Maybe there is a difference in the national personality, so to speak.
Which is why I want to point this out, that despite a lack of understanding of what's going on in the world, I mean, people don't always know what's going on in the world. Sam has made a good example of how Chinese people may have no idea about what's going on in the US. Likewise, I have followed almost every Chinese-related story on Economist, and I don't think they have a very objective perspective on China either. So I suppose, regardless of how much we know about what's going on in the rest of the world, I think our perspective about the future of the world may hang on our perception about our each individual life. As long as we are living a relatively comfortable life, we tend to think that maybe the future is bright for the rest of the world.
I think you make a really good point here. And I think, okay, don't you think that anybody living in any country would be in the same kind of situation? If you're living in a comfortable or whatever situation, aren't you always going to be more aware and care about what's happening around you? And do you care that much about a place that's miles away that you don't really know very much about? But that doesn't really explain why Chinese people are that much more optimistic. So I suspect that during the people who are conducting the survey, how the question was being asked and how Chinese people had this maybe a little bit specific behavior.
Culture prejudice.
As I use myself as a example to demonstrate the case earlier, had something to do with this seeming optimistic. Because, Sam, when you were talking about all those news commentators talking about the not-so-bright side of society, we see similar things in China. Maybe not in all areas we want to see, but there is all this negativity.
The other issue that I just want to quickly touch upon here is I also think that because of the nature of the issues that we're talking about in Europe and the United States, they're all related to, the majority of the news that I read when I turn on my computer is a lot of the time either related to racism or terrorism. And both of those issues create a huge divide. So this person may be of an Asian descent, or this person may be a black guy, this person may be a white guy. And because they're different, there's a level of tension there. And you want to be PC around everyone. You don't want to offend anyone, and you're always walking on your tiptoes. I mean, I was on another show called Studio Plus last week, and I was talking about video games, and I compared it to the National Basketball Association. And I said, in general, African Americans in the NBA are very athletic. And apparently that by American colleagues of mine, they said, Sam, you can't say that. It sounds a bit, that's not PC. And I had no idea. I said, these people are athletic, but apparently it wasn't cool. And the point I'm trying to make is that everyone's very PC, but in China, there's unity. Everyone is on the same page. The idea of being PC, you don't have to worry as much about different ethnic minorities of China, and you don't really read in the news as much about ethnic minorities in this country being offended.
I understand how race issue can be a tricky one in a multicultural society like the UK and the US, but I believe every country has their own dragon to slay. Race may not be as big an issue in this country as it is in the UK or in the US, but we have equally disturbing problems like food safety issues, all kinds of things.
That's very true. And that's something that I've always thought could be reported better, especially the food scandals that we've had over the past couple of years. I gave up reading the British media reports of them because of how lousy sometimes I thought the reporting was, and I found out that the Chinese media were, in a lot of cases, giving a more accurate description of what was going on. So it shows that this does work two ways.
And lastly, there's this Chinese saying that 生于忧患,死于安乐, you thrive when you worry about things, and you perish when you stop worrying about the future. So the fact that Chinese people are optimistic about the future can be both a good thing and a bad thing. Mm-hmm. When it's a good thing, because when, as we've seen in the news story, Chinese economy might slow down in the future, and this tiny little bit of optimism might be what we need to hang on. But as the Chinese saying just said, when we start worrying about the future, then maybe there could be bigger problems in the future.
Yeah, well, thanks for that, both of you gentlemen, and I think the economic climate certainly has a lot to do with what people feel about their future and also what's going on in their country. And what's really interesting in this survey is that it found that the GDP level of a nation has sort of a negative relationship with how optimistic people feel about their own existence in the world.
It makes sense. When you have a lot, then you have a lot to lose. Then you need to worry about more things.
Maybe.
When you have nothing to lose, then, well.
Well. And you see, like, the U.S. and the U.K. and, you know, these developed countries, they are, in comparison, a little bit more pessimistic about the future. But I wonder, isn't it kind of similar, like those countries are more developed, so they're kind of like matured people? Maybe people in their 40s or midlife, you know? And a country like China, which has just experienced a decade, if not more, of fast growth, is kind of like a younger person, maybe a teenager, and you feel more optimistic about your future. But once you reach that age of a wise old man, maybe you'll see it very differently.
I love the analogy, but the only bit where I would change it is I think that the ceiling, the kind of person China can develop into when it becomes an adult, is much higher than certain countries. If you look at places like the United Kingdom, Japan, South Korea, because it's smaller and they've got less resources and a smaller population, there's only so much they can do in terms of their economic expansion. Whereas because China is huge and there's a lot of people here and loads of resources, you can't, when they do become this adult, quotes and quotes, you imagine it being an Olympian, you know, someone at their peak, like, you know, very similar to the US, just because of its sheer size.
So you're underpinning the idea that maybe Chinese people have a reason to be optimistic
about it. Yeah, there is that side to the story.
Well, there you go. And we've got a lot of comments on this topic, and that wonderful saying that Lai Ming said about 生于忧患，死于安乐 has actually been quoted by Huang Hongchang and Mao Xiaoer as well. I guess great minds think alike. And there is Pia Zixiongmao Lin saying, because Chinese people are significantly influenced by CCTV news, which is quite typical on its portrayal of what happens in the world and what happens inside China. And I get your point there, Mr. Lin. And Hetty says, I guess the survey about Chinese people being so optimistic about the world is not absolutely true because a lot of my friends are very pessimistic about the future. And there's a lot of things that we think China can do better in the future. And Draco has a personal message for Lai Ming and says that, Lai Ming, you are brilliant. And yeah, I can't read the rest of it. It's just going to be too cheesy. So, Draco, feel free to send him a personal message if you want to.
Thank you.